to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I don't even have any notes written down here tonight. There's just so much in this. I've been studying it and thinking about it all day while I've been over there at the church. I pulled my forerunner up on the mountain and studied for a while this evening and tried to get ready for church tonight. We've had men working down there all day today. And we got to about down to verse number 4. And I'm not going to get back into that again, but we talked about, it says, when you vow a vow to God that you should pay it, and better is it in verse 5 that you don't vow than that you vow not pay. You'd be better off just keep your mouth shut than to say you're going to do something and not do it. And that's obvious. All of us have had people tell us, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, or maybe we've said ourselves, I'm sure we have. And it's awful tempting. It's awful tempting when you get in trouble or you get sick or you have problems to overcommit yourself. It's awful tempting. I've done it. I guess everybody in here has. You've said, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll never. Lord, if you'll just do this, I promise. We've all done that. But that's really, really not right. They say repentance born in the storm usually dies in the calm. So you should always say, Lord, if you'll help me, I'm going to try to do this or not try to. I don't think you ought to. I've heard preachers get up and say, when people come down here and tell the Lord you're never going to do it again. I don't even know if you should say that. Just as sure as you say that, the devil say, uh-huh, yeah, we'll see about that, boy. Then he'll go to work on you. You ought to just say, God, forgive me. By your grace, help me never to do that again. Something along those lines. I'm awful leery of people who's always saying, I told God I'd never do it again, and I'd die before I'd do it, and God told me this. Now, I worry about people that's always so sure of their self. You know, you can't be sure of this flesh. You can't be sure of it. By the time you think you got it nailed down, brother, that stuff will pop up on you some way or another. And the Pharisees had it nailed down. It popped out through their attitude. Their heart was wicked. And so, we was talking about this vow business. Somebody asked me this. They said, when you make your wedding vows, when two lost people get married, does God even honor it or anything? And my personal opinion is He does. If that's not true, all lost people shacking up. But I believe He does honor their marriage and their vows and their commitment. The other question would be, whenever you make a vow and you find out it was a stupid vow or an unscriptural vow, and then you see the truth, then I think, you know, common sense would say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was saying. I made a vow to some lodge or I made a vow to some charitable organization and I found out you might have made a vow to the Mormon church or no telling what, and you found out that you're not expected to keep the wrong. What if you said you was going to serve the devil all your life and then you got saved? You know, you don't have to keep a vow like that. Say, God, forgive me for running my mouth. Look at verse 6. Here's the whole thing. The whole point in saying that. Verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. Everybody listen now. Suffer not thy mouth to cause your flesh to sin. That mouth will cause your flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel. That's interesting. That it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands. Notice in the middle of that he said, neither say thou before the angel. And it almost implies, the Bible does this several times, it almost implies that there's an angel around watching you all the time. We've heard it said all of our lives that kids have guardian angels. And I believe that. But we might all have guardian angels. I don't know how close they are, if they're in this room. But he said, neither say thou before the angel. Like there's an angel standing right there hearing everything you say. That's something, isn't it? You remember the kids over in Jesus talking about them? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for their faces to behold the angels, or the angel to behold their faces, or whatever ones in heaven. Those little kids have angels. You seen that little chart or picture where a kid's going across like that and the bridge is broke? You know, and the angel puts his hand down there like that? I don't know what that ain't true. I don't know that it is, but I don't know that it ain't neither. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. I was preaching on top of my van one time over in Asheville flea market years ago, and I was about 21, 22 years old, and I was up there just preaching up a storm. And I got through preaching, and there's an old man come up to me, and he said, "Young man," he said, "if you could see all the forces that was around you, you'd be scared and run out of this parking lot. Those demons and hissing. I could see big old snakes about as big as this room and their heads coming at me and everything." And I got to thinking, yeah, man, but if you could see the angel of the Lord holding them back, that it'd be a different story. Amen? The angel of the Lord is, but there's many most of the time in the Old Testament when it says the angel of the Lord, when it says the angel of the Lord, it's talking about Jesus Christ. Yep. But sometimes it just says angel. So that's just a regular angel. But I ain't got time to study that tonight, but I thought that was very wild that it just said right there, don't say before the angel, it was an error. I run my mouth and I didn't know what I was talking about. No, there's an angel there watching what you say. All right, verse 7, we've got to hurry. We got a long way to go tonight, and I want to get it done quick. Verse 7, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanity, but fear thou God." Now last week, week before last, we talked about dreams. And it said where dreams come from. Where was that? That was a couple of weeks ago. That was back in the other chapter maybe. What verse was it? Where was the verse that said a dream cometh through a multitude of words? Chapter 3. Lord, it's been longer than I thought. Oh, verse 3. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Chapter 5, verse 3. "A dream cometh through the multitude of words." And I told you about dreams and how we dream. And I don't know where your dreams come from. I know all of them don't come from God. I know some of them just yourself. And I tell you, maybe somebody can answer me this. Sean, Nurt, Heather, one of y'all. Tracy, doctors, all your doctors, nurses in here. How come you dream more when you take medicine? You have a resistance that's trying to keep you from dreaming? Why do we have a resistance to keep him from dreaming? It opens your mind up. That's where I come in. That's the doctor's explanation. It opens your mind. Why do you always dream scary, crazy, weird stuff? Why not pleasant? You know, baking a cake, we'll have all the family together. It's always some weird. Yes, sir. I don't either, because sometimes I'm not really asleep, but I'm dreaming. You ever do that? It's like you're almost asleep, and I'm thinking I'm riding down the hill on a bicycle or something, but then you're sort of still awake. There ain't none. I don't guess. There ain't none, except that it's regulated and it's. I mean, no. No, not if it. In the Bible, God let them have medicine, and he ordained it. But I'm telling you that we're living in a day when if you're not careful, you'll be taking medicine that you don't really need, just because it makes you feel good or you relax or something like that. And that's where you're getting in trouble. You're getting in trouble if you start that. You're becoming a drug addict. And I'm not throwing no rocks at nobody, because I don't know nobody in here that does that. The ones that do that are ain't here. But I do know people that do it. But I'm going to tell you, there's probably others in here tonight that do it. I'm telling you, you develop a dependence. You know, a man from Texas told me one time, he said, "Danny, you know why people like to hear you preach?" And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you get up there and say what all the rest of us is already thinking." And he was right. Y'all think it, and I get up and say it. But anyway, you got to watch that stuff depending on drugs. You got to watch it. You develop a dependency on it. And I mean, I'm telling you, if my back's killing me or my leg's killing me, I'm going to take something too. But there's a point where when you can, if you can stand that pain without the drug, you're a whole lot better. Ain't that right? I mean, normally, are you supposed to go ahead and take it? I mean, is it better to take it and be hooked on it than hurt? I don't know. I know people took it because it's hurting. Well, if you hurt long enough, don't your body get addicted to it? Look, y'all, don't take me wrong. If you're on medicine here and you're hurting, I'm not being ugly. I'm not trying to criticize you. Lord knows, brother. When I mean, if I'm hurting bad enough, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take some. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but don't take it unless you really, really have to under doctor's orders. It's just legal. So if you take Percocet, you might as well do heroin. Can get a little plainer. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just, I don't even know how I got off on all that about the dreams. I was wondering why medicine made you dream. You know, sleep, if you ever took something to make you sleep, you'll sleep, but you'll have nightmares the whole time. I don't know which is worse, staying awake all night or having scary dreams all night. I'd about rather stay awake and have to look at that stuff all night long. Anybody else? But Percocet don't? Huh? Nothing about it. Ain't no telling. Ain't no telling what they figured out we don't know about. But they always told me the less medicine you can take, the better off you are. Right? Everybody agree with that? I mean, less the better. And if you have to do, I don't expect somebody to go around in terrible pain all the time. On the old movies, like when old westerns and stuff like that, they'd always give them a shot of liquor or something, you know. You remember when they'd cut the bullet out of them, you know, they'd give them a shot of whiskey. I don't know if that done any good or not. I guess if you get knocked out, you don't feel a cut. But anyway, them dreams come through that. But looky here. Let's go on to verse 8. This is what I want to get to tonight. We've got to get into this tonight, y'all. We're going to be in this forever. You just get in the Bible, you can just go so many different directions. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, verse 8, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province. Boy, isn't that? I mean, turn the news on. Marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth. And there be higher than they. You can bet your life. And what's that saying? What's that verse saying? If you see the oppression of the poor, and you see people getting mistreated, and you see people taking advantage of people, and you see it on the news, and you see they're being oppressed, marvel not at the matter. You say, my goodness, why don't somebody, there's social injustice, these people ain't getting a fair shake. Somebody, that verse says, don't you worry, there's somebody sitting up there that's higher than highest, and he's going to sort it out one of these days. That's a comfort, that's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing to know God's going to straighten out everything one of these days. That's a blessing. God's going to straighten it out. I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all, this is one of the greatest Bible studies that I think we've ever had. There's so much stuff in here. You look at the different direction this thing goes. Wisest man never lived besides Jesus wrote it. So we ought to learn something from him. If you see the perverting of judgment, like keeping abortion legal just to keep a bunch of wicked people happy, murdering innocent babies because of the pressure from the left who want to live like the devil and kill them because they don't want to have to put up with raising a kid, or buying votes. I don't know. I don't really understand. Some of you political geniuses in here might, right now they're fighting. Hillary and Obama are fighting over Michigan and Florida or Ohio or something being disenfranchised and them being able to vote. And then it's a big fight, and we ain't even got to the general election yet. And there's a lot of injustice. A lot of injustice. Y'all heard about the governor of New York and the trouble he's been in this week. And all of that kind of stuff. And sometimes you think, oh my goodness, what in the world? You just remember, there's one higher than all of them. And He regards everything. And He's sorting it all out. That's a great verse. And there be higher than they. Don't ever forget that. Hitler wasn't the highest. Amen? Somebody said the President of the United States has the most powerful job in the universe. No, he don't, neither. There be higher than he or she. Or him, shim. All right, verse 9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. I mean, we all live off the dirt. We all live off the dirt. Everything you eat comes from the dirt. Sure does. Right out of the dirt. You're made out of dirt. Your name is mud. That's right. You're made out of dirt, man. You ain't even made out of good dirt. You're made out of dust. Out of the dust of the earth. I'm just... You know, dust ain't no good for nothing. You can't even do nothing with dust, and that's what we're made out of. Ain't we something? But we're served by the field. Now, look at verse 10. Man, can preach on this about an hour. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Hold it now. If you love silver... Silver will not make you happy. As a matter of fact, if you love abundance with increase, it won't make you happy. If all you think about is getting more, 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 you are destined to become an unhappy person. You'll not be satisfied. There's nothing wrong with silver. But if you love silver, silver ain't going to satisfy you. If you love gold, gold ain't going to satisfy. You put anything you want to in there. If you love cars, cars ain't going to satisfy. Anything you love more than God will not satisfy you. He that loveth cars will not be satisfied with cars. He that loveth drugs shall not be satisfied with drugs. He that loveth popularity shall not be satisfied with popularity. He that loveth land shall not be satisfied with land. Anything you love, first place in your life, God's got it fixed so it will not make you happy. Isn't that something? And is that true or what? Look at those poor people in Hollywood. They got anything a person could want, money could buy, and they're the most miserable people in town. They really are. I mean, they commit suicide, they're on drugs, they're in a mess all the time. He that loveth abundance with increase. Look at verse 11. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. So what good is it to owners? Saving the beholding of them with their eyes. That's putting it down there, brother. I mean, these psychologists and stuff like that need to study these verses like this. You know what that's saying? When goods increase, they're increased that eat them. Okay, translate that. I mean, just think about what that's saying. When goods increase, they're increased that eat them. So if you've got a bunch of stuff, and you've got a whole bunch of stuff, then you have to hire people to help you take care of it, and they eat it. When you get a bunch, when goods increase, they increase it. If you was to win the lottery, then all you kin folks won't come move in with you. They increase to eat them. Amen? You watch, anybody that's got a little something in the family, all the poor ones in the family will migrate to that one that's got some. When goods increase, they increase to eat them. So what good's it doing you? Save the beholding of them with your eyes. That's a verse, brother. I mean, I wish I could tell y'all what runs through my mind when I read that, and how I'm trying to explain it, but what good is it to have a whole bunch of stuff? It's like this. If you got a lot of money, and ain't nothing wrong having money, unless it's your God, you have to wind up hiring somebody to take care of it for you. And then you don't know if you can trust them. And then you have to hire somebody to make sure this is done. Pay somebody to do this. Pay somebody to do that. And then you lay awake at night wondering if it's all getting done. Somebody's cheating you. And all. What good is it saving the beholding of it with your eyes? Have you ever seen people? I'm not against this either. I probably got one of the messiest yards in here. If anybody wants to come over and
do my yard and put mulch and flowers, I'd just bless the fool out of you. But if you want to do that. But have you ever met people that absolutely all they think about is that stinking yard? I remember I used to go preach way over in, all over in Lenore this time of year. And I remember places over there where I would literally watch them every evening. I'd be on my way to revival, and there was the man and the woman, which there's nothing wrong with that. But every day, brother, he was out there planting bushes. And they were both working and working. And they'd do that till dark, go in and watch TV and take a shower or whatever and go to bed. And one day I went by there and said, what good is that doing them, save the beholding of them with their eyes? You know all they get out of that? Just looking at it. There's my bush. Now, I don't think you ought to let briars grow up in your yard. I was over there with my paving man a while ago, right before I came here. That's why I'm sort of dusty. Y'all have to. I'm clean when I leave the house, but for the next few weeks, I don't look too good on Wednesday night. But I was over there talking to him, and I said, we want to put mulch around this sign, and I want somebody to put us some of them real pretty bushes. Some of them it's red and got some color. I mean, we're right on the side here in State 40. I want it to look nice. But Lord, have mercy. I am not going to get out. I've seen people look like they had tweezers, brother, going around the side. I don't know what they had, a little bitty thing. Trimming, I ain't going to do that. I'll get me a weed eater and knock it down, and I ain't fooling with it. I think you're crazy to even plant grass. If I had to do over again, I'd just have trees and leaves and no grass. Oh, my goodness. Really? You burner bush for the burning bush. Brother Ray had the burning bush over there. Oh, you'd be surprised. You run over somebody's bush, they'll have a heart attack. I mean, they got flower, this flower and that flower. Please don't think I'm being... I want your yard to look nice. I'm not saying you're wrong, but Lord have mercy. All you get out of it is the beholding of it with your eyes. You ever know people like that? They work all day in the yard, and then they go out there and drink tea, iced tea, sit and look at it. Save the beholding of it with your eyes. That's all the good. When you think about it like that, you think, God, I'm stupid. Who had their hand raised over here? That's, I guess. Or he said that fixing your hair is the same as working on your yard, but I don't know about that. Oh yeah, I mean, I think you ought to comb your hair, but you're right. I think keep your yard clean, but it shouldn't become. I mean, good night. Well, how do you know when it's an obsession? Well, I think it ought to be neat. I think you ought to have nice yards as a Christian. I don't think you ought to have, a 14 wrecked car sitting in your front yard and squirrel tails tied them on beer cans and everything else. But what this verse is saying is all the people getting out of that is just looking at it. Just looking at it. Huh? Squirrel tails. Charles, it is. It is vanity. When you get to thinking about it, it's vanity. Man, you ought to see them houses. Has anybody in here been to Hollywood? Sorry, me and Carrie? You been? Buddy, you were talking about some houses, brother. I'm telling you, there's big bushes. They got bushes big as this building, shaped this way and that way. And I mean them. They trim them things to shape just like. And that back behind it, you see this huge mansion of about 15,000 square feet, about a lot, twice as big as this church and everything. And you think, what do they get out of that? I mean, it's nice. I'm not saying I wouldn't take it. If they give it to me, you better believe I'd take it. But the truth is, all you're going to do is just sit and look at it. Them bricks. Look at them bricks.
How pretty them look around there. And I don't have no grass on my sidewalk. We blowed it off with the blower and then sucked it up with that thing on and took it off and hauled it off. No grass in my yard. Now, if you do that, more power to you. But, man, I don't do that. When I cut my grass, I just leave a dead grass laying on there. I ain't going to go back and suck it all up. I wish I had one of them things that done it for you. Anybody else? Look, now don't let your yard go. Take care of your yard. Plant flowers, all that. But come to church on Wednesday night and be at the youth rally and go to prayer meeting and go sow and witness. Get on the bus. You don't have to stay in your yard every Saturday. You don't have to stay in your yard 5 and 6 nights a week. You're more dedicated to that than you are to church. Anybody else? Yeah, man. Look at verse 11. When goods increased, they are increased that eat them. The more stuff you got, the more people you got to hire to look out for it. Just more headache. What good is it to the owners except the beholding of it with their eyes? All right, look at verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. There's how you sleep, buddy. Work. Work. I'll never forget whether he eat little or much. I'll read the rest of it in a minute. I'll never forget hearing Ed McAbee years ago. He was raised in Spruce Pine. His daddy was a pastor. He said they'd get out in the field. Now, he said this. Some of y'all might have done it. Before daylight, we had a hoe and a rake shut before daylight. And as soon as it got light enough to see, he said they started hoeing them corn rows. All the way down half a mile row, 2 rows back. It's time to eat lunch. He said they stay out there till dark in the summertime. And he said they'd come in like this and just fall on the couch and they'd eat supper. And his daddy'd come in and throw the car keys down and said, boys, want to go to town or anything? He said, no, sir, I'm going to bed. We're going to have to do this again tomorrow. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The reason a lot of people can't sleep, they don't never really wake up. Lord have mercy, they don't ever get out of bed. The worst thing about doing nothing is you can't stop and rest. I'm telling you, there are some people, they stay in the bed till 1 o'clock and get up and eat and take a nap at 3, then watch TV 4 or 5 hours, and then go back to bed and have to take drugs to make them sleep. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. I guarantee you, boy, there was... sometimes when I travel and I preach hard, like I did Sunday night, I was a little bit tired. I don't usually get tired on Sunday, but I was a little tired Sunday night, and I went to sleep pretty easy. That night, me and Brother James and I forgot who all was over. I forget. That night we put them big steel beams in them walls over there. Now, buddy, I'm going to tell you, well, you're so tired that night you couldn't sleep. You can get that way. Anybody ever been so tired you couldn't sleep? Feels like your heart's messed up or something. You're so tired you can't sleep. I've been that way. But anyway, you want to sleep good? Work hard. Come over and mow my grass. Amen. All right. Look at it, verse 12, the bottom half of it. Boy, here's a contrast. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There's what's wrong with people in Hollywood. Their stuff won't let them sleep. They'll wake up at night and say, well, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I buy that stock? Should I sell this? Well, should I do that? I don't know. If I do that, this is going to happen. If I do that, then the bank's going to foreclose on that one over there. And then the interest rate's going up here. And I got that payment coming over here to do that. And I got so much stuff, I can't sleep. That's why you ought to just say, God, give me food, clothing, pay my bills, give me enough to eat, and I'll be happy. Because the abundance of the rich won't suffer them to sleep. Most Donald Trump, people like that, he puts on a big act and on TV and everything. Well, I bet it when all the lights are out and he lays down, he got a million things running through his mind driving him crazy. He probably has to take something or drink something to even go to sleep. Anybody? The abundance of the rich will not suffer them to sleep. Verse 13, there's a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. It ought to make you happy, but it winds up hurting you. But those riches perished by evil travail. And he begotteth a son, and there's nothing in his hand. Well, the son ain't got enough sense to use daddy's riches, and it winds up making them all miserable. Verse 15, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. That's what Solomon's saying here. He said, look, when you die, you're going to come just like you got here. That's how you're going to leave. You came in naked, you're going to leave naked. You ain't taking one penny with you. Not one penny. And verse 16 says, and this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. I preached on that here about a couple of years ago. I don't know if y'all remember it. Probably don't. Wasn't a great message or anything. But what profit hath he labored for the wind? Look at verse 16. As in all points he came, so shall he go. When a man leaves the world, he leaves in all points like he came. Now, I preached it. Does anybody remember me preaching that? I heard one person, two persons. I preached that one Sunday morning. And I preached it like this. Here's the way you always think. Here's the way you always think. You think we enter into this world through this little door right here. And we live our life. We live our life. We get grown. We start to get a little age on us. Then we get old. And then we die. Go out this other door. So we come in that door and leave this door. That's the way we normally think it. But that ain't what it says. It said we go in all points as we came. So here's the way it really is. This way it really is. You come into this world like this, and you go around here, and you grow up, and you get make a living, and you get grown, and then you have kids, and then you have grandkids, and then that, and you just make a big circle and go right back out that same door. According to the Bible, that's the way. Always, and I've never seen that. The Lord just showed that to me, and I remember thinking, Lord, have mercy. That's one of the greatest truths I've seen in years. Just grab me. You don't come in one door and go out the other. You go back out the same door you came in. As in all points, look here. When you come in here, you're helpless. Right? Somebody has to take care of you. Somebody has to feed you. If they don't, you'll die. When you leave here, most of the time, you're helpless. Laying in the bed, somebody has to feed you. Somebody has to watch after you. When you come here, in here, you're crying. Wah! You know, when you leave here, you're crying. Oh, I'm hurting you like that. When you come in here, you usually have no teeth. I hope you didn't. When you leave here, you have no teeth. As all points, so shall it go. I'm talking about if you live a long life and die of old age, you leave just like you come. You come in here, you're broke. You don't have a penny. When you leave here, when you come in, you're broke. When you leave, you're broke. As in all points. That'll preach, preachers. That'll preach. You're going to leave just like you came, except a whole lot uglier. And that's what 70 years of living on planet Earth will do for you. Yeah, when babies are born, they say, oh, he's so cute, he's so sweet, he's so cute. When old people's getting ready to die, they don't say that. Oh, he's so cute, he's so sweet. They say, oh, my goodness. That's what 70 years of sin will do to you. You're going to leave just like you came, but a whole lot uglier. That's what y'all got to look forward to. You're uglier than you was last week when he was here. We're all getting uglier. I know you can paint it up, and I know you can put on eye makeup and eyeshadow and do everything, but buddy, the truth is you're getting uglier all the time after you get grown. Yeah, that's right. That's why I said all is vanity. All is vanity. That's a great note to end the Bible study on, ain't it? You're getting older, uglier, and you're going to leave crying and broke. Just like you came in. All is vanity. But buddy, you know what we know tonight? Thank God there's a better place to go. And thank God our treasures ain't down here. They're up there. And thank God there's somewhere a whole lot better than this to go to. Anybody else want to say something? Look at verse 17. All his days he eateth in darkness and hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Lord have mercy, that'd make you want to commit suicide. He hath much sorrow and wrath in his sickness. If you ain't never been sick, you just hang on. Your time's coming. Young people, you better enjoy your health now, because you're right here. You just came in a few years ago. You're about right here, some of you. You're about right here, some of you. And you're about right here, and some of you going down the other side. We're going down the other side. I'm going down the other side. I mean, I can't cheat it forever. That's what it says. Look at verse number 18. Behold, that which I've seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, which he taketh unto the son all days of his life, which God giveth him. And we're going to look at this and then we're going to close. For it is his portion. Look at that. It is his portion. Every man, verse 19, also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, you got riches and wealth, hath given him power to eat thereof, to take his portion and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. If you make good money, it's God giving that to you. It's your portion. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in joy of his heart. Now let's look at that. Two times, verse 18 and 19, it said your portion. We all get a portion. We all get a portion. You know, it'd be like you had 100 kids sitting at a big table, and you put here's a chicken leg on one, and here's a peanut butter sandwich on one, and here's potato chips on one, and here's grapes on the other, and here's, you know, a bologna sandwich on the other, and here's a steak. Everybody gets their portion. And the Bible said it's a gift of God. Let me tell you how to be happy. You know how to be happy? Thank God for the portion that he's given you. Don't sit around and be mad because you ain't got what somebody else has got. You're very well off compared to some people in this world. Very well off. I mean, we can all look at people that's got more than us and be miserable, or we can look at people that ain't got as much as us and be thankful. And a lot of people don't... Can I say this? And I got nobody in mind when I do now, but... I'll try to get it out. Put it this way. A lot of people, and especially a lot of women and men, don't have the capacity to enjoy stuff. They're not able. Like, can you? It's hard for me. It's very hard for me to relax, and it's hard for me to just enjoy stuff. Because I'm always thinking, well, if this was Netflix, and I need to do that, and I need to do that. But you ought to thank God if you can just sit out on your front porch, drink a cup of coffee or whatever, and say, look, God's let these trees, the wind blow, and I can hear birds chirping, and it's just a blessing to be alive, and glory to God. You know, there's millionaires that can't do that. There's millionaires that can't do that. Enjoy your portion. You know what? Your house, your land, your car, your health, everything, that's your portion. God give it to you. If you've got riches, it is the gift of God. Enjoy it. Enjoy what God has given you. I mean, the Lord's been good to me. He really, really has. He's been good to me. I ain't got nothing to complain about. Oh, sure, I could say, well, poor old Brother Danny, I need this, and I ain't got that. And But I ain't going to live like that. I'm not going to do it. I ought to say, you know what? Glory to God. I get the privilege of preaching every Sunday and just about every day in between. I get to read my Bible. I get to pray. I can think. I can get in my car and go somewhere. I got driver's license. I can eat and enjoy the meal that I ate. It's my portion. Thank God for it. Enjoy your portion. Enjoy your portion. Amen. You know, you say, well, I wasn't married to my, I wasn't having her for a wife, and I didn't have this. We all can do that. And I sympathize with you. If you're in a bad marriage or whatever, my heart goes out to you. But you've got to just say, hey, I'm going to enjoy the portion that God gave me. Anybody got a question on that or a comment? Make sure you got the capacity. I know people. It don't matter how good everything is, they're miserable because of something. And that is not the way God wants us to be. You don't have to be... Listen, it ain't never going to be all fixed, folks. Not in this world. Everything ain't never... And look, if you got money to go eat out on Friday night, then one of your kids is having trouble. And if all your kids are healthy and happy, then you ain't got no money to go nowhere. There's always something to make you miserable if you let it. But just refuse to live like that. Anybody? That's Ecclesiastes. That's the book of wisdom.
You're a lot smarter. You may not realize you're a lot smarter than you was several weeks ago when we started this.